The U.S. Department of Education is compiling a state-by-state list of the nation's persistently dangerous public schools. It's part of the No Child Left Behind Act, the sweeping new federal law that's supposed to hold schools accountable for students' academic performance and safety. The government's focus on school violence reflects the public's demand for safer schools. But as NPR's Claudio Sanchez reports, the levels of violence that most states consider to be dangerous are so high, very few schools are likely to make the list.
To hear middle school students in Baltimore tell it, school is not always a safe place.
Sometimes if they're wrestling and somebody will hit somebody too hard, that can lead to a fight. If you hit the ground, they don't leave you alone anymore. They stomp you.
They don't really care.
They don't care anymore.
They'll scrape your face on the ground. They stab people with pens and pencils, scissors. They'll use anything.
But do incidents such as these necessarily make a school persistently dangerous?
No. Not as we've defined it.
Dr. Lynn Lindy oversees school safety for Maryland State Department of Education. She says a school in Maryland is labeled persistently dangerous only if 2.5% or more of its students are suspended or expelled for what the state calls violent offenses.
Things such as weapons, arson, physical attacks on teachers or students where the perpetrator is suspended for more than 10 days, false alarms, bomb threats, explosives, sexual assault. So things that would be considered under a criminal code as being serious offenses.
This year, in its report to the U.S. Department of Education, Maryland did not have a single school labeled persistently dangerous. Neither did California, Illinois, Florida, Ohio, Massachusetts, Georgia, or Virginia. New York reported 2 persistently dangerous schools, Texas 6, New Jersey 7. Even in tiny Rhode Island, where students in 3 separate incidents were caught with guns last year, not a single school was listed as persistently dangerous. Marianne Roll, president of the Rhode Island Parent Teacher Association, was in the committee that had to come up with a definition of persistently dangerous school, a process, she says, with enormous political repercussions.
It would be very difficult for any state to embarrass hundreds of its public schools, because I think in some ways there is a feeling that part of what's behind this is an attempt to make public education look bad. And that's certainly from the view of the educators. Because what are the consequences?
Under the No Child Left Behind Act, a persistently dangerous school must allow students to transfer to a safer school and immediately deal with its safety problems, hire more school police, buy more metal detectors and surveillance equipment, or develop conflict resolution programs. A school can apply for federal funds to pay for these things, but most of the money would have to come from the state, which is perhaps another big reason states are reluctant to label schools persistently dangerous. Then there's the lack of good data. Bill Mazuleski is head of the U.S. Education Department's Safe and Drug-Free Schools program. He's reviewed most of the state's reports and found problems in some of the ways states have decided what a violent school is.
They just didn't have the data to make that determination. But again, it gets back to definitions. Is the information available? And the state may say to you, "Is we wanted to put drug offenses on there, but we just don't have the data. We don't collect the data. I mean, the police collected data. We don't have reliable data to make that determination."
Even if states have all the information they need, some people who've been part of this process wonder whether this business of labeling schools makes any difference. Again, Rhode Island PTA President Marianne Roll.
Our conversations around this whole question of persistently dangerous left most of us feeling very uncomfortable because we didn't feel like we were talking about helping schools to become safer. That wasn't our task. Our task was to come up with a policy that met the requirements of the federal law.
And that's all that states have done up until now. Whether each state's definition of persistently dangerous holds up, well, that's another matter. The Education Department is reviewing those definitions, and by late fall, we'll decide who needs to start over again. Claudio Sanchez, NPR News, Washington.